We'll be talking about God's character as light, as we have just talked about in our songs today. But we're going to look at a way that we can contradict what we have just said and sung about God. A way, in fact, that we can utterly repudiate everything we have just said about God. We're going to be talking today about lying. About lying from 1 John chapter 1, primarily in verse 10, so you can be turning in your Bibles there. And not just lying ourselves, but actually making God a liar. Let me begin by reading our text. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 10 of 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. This is the fundamental message that John wants to communicate to us. God has given you this letter so that you can have confidence and joy in having fellowship with Him, partnership with Him, having a share in God, which is to have eternal life. If we're going to do that, we have to know what kind of a God He is. Well, here's who He is. He is light. No darkness at all. That definition then defines all of our relationship with Him. And so John then, in five strokes, has given us here this initial implications that God is light has for our relationship with Him. In some ways, I hear the music of this passage as John wraps up this first movement in his letter, like a timpani playing to a crescendo, to a climax. This sort of two-beat pattern followed by the final beat, the bum, 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 bum. He's going to hit that same note again here in these five strokes that he's making. And in fact, he's going to come down very hard on this last final note. He's really playing the same note, you might say, as he's been playing in verse 6 and verse 8 of this text. But now, he's escalating it, and he's hitting it even harder to make the point very clear. One way we see that verse 10 is the climax of verses 6 through 10 is that John brings to a climax in this verse the issue of lying and the issue of God's word or God's truth being in us. Notice the progression as we go through it. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Once again, notice the progression even at the last part of the verses. Verse 6, we do not practice the truth. Verse 8, the truth is not in us. And verse 10, His word is not in us. You see, John has not really changed topics here. He's bringing out the same truths, but now just hitting him in another way, and even harder in some ways. And what I want to do here today, in some ways, is just really take time, meditate on this text, to feel the force of what verse 10 is saying. I think if we skim over it too quickly, we don't get the gravity of what John has just said. And by the way, that's what meditation on the Scripture is for, right? It opens our souls to receive the Word in all of its life-giving force, rather than just skimming over it and not really paying attention to it. But in order to do that, in order to let the Word have its full force in our hearts today, I want us to first grasp the text itself, and then we'll set it into its full biblical context. Verse 10 opens with another condition. Same as this pattern he's been doing in verses 6 through 10. If we say... So I'm going to set up another scenario for you, John says. I'm going to put up this condition. If this is true, then here's what can follow from that. And here the claim is, in verse 10, we have not sinned. We have not sinned. It's really very similar to the claim in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, here in verse 10 he says, if we say we have not sinned, there may be a smidgen of difference between these two statements in verses 8 and 10, but the truth is really the same. Claiming you have no sin, if you remember from looking at verse 8, means that you look at the revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and you come away saying, I don't really need the light. I'm really okay before God. I'm not lawless. My wrongdoing isn't sin. I'm not guilty and in need of cleansing. If that's the way you respond to God's revelation of Himself in Jesus Christ, then you have sin. You bear that. It's totally exposed. There's no way of hiding your guilt. You have sin. In verse 10, claiming, I have not sinned, is really tantamount to saying, I haven't done anything that really counts as sin. Yeah, I may have messed up. Okay, we know everybody's not perfect. Okay, you know, I've done a few wrong things here or there. But I have not sinned. Well, that's the claim. But if John says, if you make that kind of a claim, then this next statement really ought to make your eyebrows go up and the hair on the back of your neck stand up. He says, if you claim that, we make him a liar. You see what's gone on? It's not merely now that we lie, as verse 6 says. If you make this kind of a claim about yourself, you're lying. Verse 8, you're deceiving yourself even. Well, that's bad enough to be a liar yourself. But here John says, if you make that kind of a claim, you're actually making God out to be a liar. You're not even just a liar yourself. You're saying that the true God is actually a liar. That's what He really is. You're not saying that He is light. You are saying that He is a liar. That's an assertion about God that is completely false. And if that is the case, then John says here, His word, the word of life, has no place in you. It does not indwell you. It does not inhabit your beliefs and your practices. You are empty of God's life-giving word. You do not know God. You do not have eternal life. John is being very straightforward here. Now, interestingly enough, this whole idea of being a liar is very important to what God wants to communicate to you in this letter of 1 John. What struck me about it as I was studying these texts was that in the New Testament, we find this term for a liar 10 times altogether. That's all, really. Not used a whole lot. But of those 10 times, 5 of them come up in 1 John. He uses it a lot. He keeps bringing up this issue about being a liar. In fact, let's look, just for our understanding here today, let's look at the way the Apostle John uses this term. First of all, in our text in verse 10 of chapter 1, but then also in chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay, so again, similar to the kind of text we've just been looking at here, someone makes a claim that he knows God, but he's not keeping God's commandments. Well, what is the truth of that person? He's a liar. That is, that's characteristic of him. He makes false assertions. To lie is to speak or to act against the truth so as to lead somebody astray. That's what a lie is. To speak or to act against the truth so as to lead somebody astray. Lead somebody into error. Well, this is the kind of person you are. You're a lying kind of person if you claim you know God but you don't keep His commandments. Also in chapter 2, verse 22, we read this: Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. That's, a very strong statement here. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This man Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One of God, the Son of God. In fact, if you make this kind of claim, he says, this is the Antichrist. That's what's true of you. It's not only that you don't know God now, you are, in a sense, God's sworn enemy here, if that's the kind of person you are, a liar. Chapter 4, verse 20. John uses this term again. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Now, there's a challenging text, one, of course, we'll have opportunity to explore at length as we talk about what John has to say about loving our brothers and how crucial that is to knowing God. But here, we just find this stark contrast. Okay, you're going to say, I love God. Oh, I just delight in God. God is wonderful. I love His salvation. I love His Word. I love all these things. But you hate your brother. What's really true about you? You're actually, here's the kind of person you are. You're a liar. That's the kind of person you are. You think you're great, but you're a liar. One more time, John uses this term liar, and here again, in the last chapter of the book, he uses it just like he's used it in the first chapter, with reference to God. In chapter 5, verse 10, he says this: Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. As this last reference here demonstrates, saying that we have not sinned, chapter 1, verse 10, and then not believing God and what He says, chapter 5, verse 10, go hand in hand. When men refuse to believe God, in particular what He's revealed about our sinful condition through His Son Jesus Christ, then we are making Him out to be a liar. Now, how serious is that? Is that merely a little offense? You know, a little problem, a little hiccup in the relationship with God. You know, maybe not best. Well, certainly it's not like Hitler or Stalin, right? I mean, I'm not a mass murderer if I, deny my sinfulness and deny that I've sinned. It's not like being a child abuser, right? Actually, wrong. Refusing to acknowledge our sin is an attack upon the very character of God. It's an attack on everything that comes from God. It's complete and total rebellion against God. That's what it is. I want to show you this from Scripture. I want to put this issue of lying in the character of God into its broader scriptural perspective so that we can see why John would make such a strong statement as he has in his letter to us here. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, Balaam said, rightly, God is not man that he should lie. He's not like us. We lie. We assert falsely. We speak and act against the truth in order to lead others into error. God does not do that. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says this of God's promise to Abraham: So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. What are these two unchangeable things? the very character of God, and then His oath. These are two things that cannot change. It's impossible for God to lie. And what does that tell us in this context in Hebrews? It tells us we have hope. Our entire salvation rests upon the fact that God cannot lie. If He could lie, well then, we have no guarantees that He really will follow through with everything He's promised. With what He's started so far. Maybe He'll change. Maybe He'll do something different. Maybe He'll throw in the towel and say, these people aren't worth it. That person right there, he's a really bad sinner. I'm not going to mess with him anymore. Our salvation rests on the fact that God does not lie, and that is grounded in the character of God Himself. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says that Paul writes to Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, who cannot lie, who is without lies, you might translate it, promised before the ages began. Why did Paul write this in the hope of eternal life? Because God promised it. Well, why did that give him hope? Because God is the kind of God who is without lies. There's no such thing as lie in Him. It's God's very nature to be unable to lie. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. You see, there's the ground of it all. He cannot go against who He is. He must be the veracious, the true, the faithful God who cannot lie. And so that's another example is when He grounds His covenant promise to David in His own character. Psalm 89, verse 35. Once for all, I have sworn by My holiness, I will not lie to David. What did God swear by? Of course, there's nothing greater than Himself to swear by. So what did He swear by? His own nature and character. My holiness. If that can change, then I'll lie. But if God can somehow become, or I should say, if God can somehow become not God, or un-God Himself, well then He can lie. You see, we often confess this when we say that God is the true God. He is the true God. Which means, among many things, that He has perfect integrity and that He is faithful. In fact, what is John in our text back in 1 John just said about God one verse earlier? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and righteous to forgive us our sins. Okay? He went back to the character of God. That's the kind of God He is. He can't turn away from Himself. He's faithful. He's steadfast, reliable, trustworthy. He cannot commit Himself to something and then later go back on it. He simply can't do that. In the Old Testament, this is called His chesed, His steadfast love, His covenant loyalty, and also His emunah, His firm reliability and His faithfulness. And that's why we praise the Lord. By saying, Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the clouds, Psalm 36:5. This is the true God. So when we say, God is light, as John has just said in John 1:5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, what shines out is that our God is all truth. All truth, through and through. There's no flaw of untruth in Him anywhere. He's all truth. He's absolute knowledge, intelligence, and wisdom. In Him, there is no error, no lies, no deception, no ignorance, no confusion at all. There is no darkness in Him. And this is why we see, because this is who God is, this is why lying is something that God hates from the very core of His being. It's put this way for us in Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him, that disgust Him to the core of His being. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. By the way, we asked earlier, you know, saying I have not sinned, that's not on the same level as being a murderer, is it? God just listed being a liar right in tandem with being a murderer. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. And now look at this. A false witness who breathes out lies. And one who sows discord among brothers. It's so fascinating that in that text, twice, God brings up lying as something that He hates. I mean, if God is going to summarize things that He cannot stand, that are just totally opposite of His character, that revolt Him, twice He brings up lying. Because this is so opposite of who He is. It's simply incompatible as darkness is from light. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, we even find that idols are alluded to as lies. Lies. They're insubstantial, they are wind, they are breath, they are nothing, they are the opposite of God's good creation. They are lies. And this comes out clearly, by the way, in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They, men who are suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness, exchange the truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Did you see that? What's going on in idolatry? We're turning from God and turning to a lie. We're believing a lie. So, to make God out to be a liar is really to call Him a false god. 1 John 1:10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Let's change it this way. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a false god. We say He's not the true God. We don't believe Him. But, interestingly enough, I think it goes even deeper than that. In John chapter 8, Jesus called somebody a liar. It wasn't God. In fact, you can turn there with me if you'd like to, because it's good to look at this text. John chapter 8. As Jesus is here confronting the unbelief of the Jews, particularly by telling them if they abide in His word, they are truly His disciples. And they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. But they said, we are Abraham's offspring and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you will say you will become free? Well, Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen from my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. So Jesus has just set up a contrast here. These Jews, in fact, some of them were those who claimed to believe in Him. But He knew that they were not receiving His word. So He's setting this up to draw out their true character and their true nature. Now verse 39. They answered Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. And by the way, what did Abraham do? He believed in the Lord. And the Lord counted it to him for righteousness, right? He listened to what God said. But Jesus goes on, but now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. By the way, are you hearing some of the words Jesus is saying show up in 1 John? John got this right from the source, from Jesus himself. Jesus told these Jews they were of their father the devil. He was a murderer and a liar. That was his true character. And those who act like him do the same kinds of things. These people were not of God. They had no part in God that Jesus was confronting there. And God is using this writing in 1 John to confront us with the exact same truth. Let me just draw out on what Jesus said there and ask you this. Do you realize what you're doing when you make God out to be a liar? You're calling him the devil. That's in effect what you're doing. You're a liar. Well, who's a liar? The devil is a liar and the father of lies. But what is the reality? You are of your father the devil, for you are the liar. Do you see the powerful antithesis John has set up in this text for us here? I mean, he's given us two totally incompatible conditions, being in the darkness and being in the light. And he's shown us what it looks like to be in those conditions so that we can hold it up and see it. Since God is light, and since God says we have sinned, and since God sent his only Son to save us from our sins, to claim that we have not sinned is to make God a liar. It's to refuse to believe him flat out and just say, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You consider, for example, how great Ananias and Sapphira's sin was when they lied to God and God struck them dead. Now consider how great a sin it is to call God the liar. This is no little thing. To make God out to be a liar is to attack the entire moral order of the universe. It's to stand reality on its head. It's to live in fairyland. It's to pretend. It's to worship idols. Pretend that right is wrong and wrong is right. It's to make the true God out to be the Prince of Darkness. All of that is what comes from that seemingly not so bad statement of, we have not sinned. I'm going to close with that today. Which is it for you? Is God light or is he a liar? You can't have it both ways. And it's your actions they're going to show. You're going to show what you really believe by the way you deal with your own sinfulness. If you confess it and you run to Jesus, trusting in the blood which alone can cleanse you from sin, then you are walking in the light with the true God. But if you hide your sin, if you pretend you're good, then you're living in the darkness. You deny the true God. With this, God brings really to a climax his opening movement of this letter, which he has given you so that you can have confidence and joy in knowing that you have the true God, in knowing that you have eternal life. Walking in the light in sweet fellowship with God means walking in Jesus, confessing your sins, having his blood applied to you by the Spirit, and letting the Spirit transform your life into all goodness and righteousness and truth, so that as you behold his glory, you become more and more like that glory. That's walking in the light. Is that what's characteristic of you today?